Peterson is taking care of things right now.
To Wesley Fields. Touchdown, Georgia Southern.
Pass swing on the way. It's gone! It is well with my stolen Montgomery! Georgia Southern wins!
Hello, welcome to Georgia Southern Extra, the Georgia Southern football podcast. I'm Nathan Dominitz, your co-host. McLean Baxley, our other co-host, is on assignment today. So we have a very special guest, like we like to have. Mike Brown of Savannah has been covering Georgia Southern sports and particularly football since 2002 for various media outlets such as the Associated Press and the Macon Telegraph, the Savannah Morning News, and the Statesboro Herald. And Mike has been a sports writer since 1964, so he's got me beat by maybe a couple of years. So, Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to be with you, Nathan.
Well, we're glad you're here. Now, Mike has been covering Georgia Southern for a long time, so you've been watching the team this season. They're 6-2, having a good, interesting 6-2. Not a very straightforward 6-2. We can talk about that in a bit. They're 4-2 in the Sun Belt Conference, and they played a Sun Belt Conference opponent on Saturday, November 14th. Now, we are taping on Tuesday, November 17th. So when people listen to the show, they should know that we are speaking based on knowledge and information we have as of November 17th, with the way that the season has gone in college football with COVID-19 and contact tracing and such. We hope the game is played this Saturday. That's Georgia Southern at Army in West Point, New York, at noon on November 21st, and that'll be shown on the Georgia on the CBS Sports Network. But let's go back to last Saturday, Texas State coming in to play Georgia Southern at Paulson Stadium, and my impression of the game.
Well, first of all, I felt, and I think you did too, that this would be a closer game than what a lot of fans anticipated. You know, they were looking at Texas mm-hmm. State's 1-8 record.
1-8. 1-8 at the time.
Yeah. And one of the things I do for the Statesboro Herald is I write a weekly story about the opposing team. It kind of give the readers an outlook on what to expect and so forth. And as I got into researching Texas State, I thought, gee, you know, these guys aren't all that bad. They played some good teams tough. Mm-hmm. For example, they had a 3-point loss to Boston College, which is
that's right, 24-21.
Mm-hmm. And they had thumped Louisiana Monroe pretty good, handily, a team that Georgia Southern just held off to win by, I think, 5 points. And I thought, wow, this – and then I talked to the coach. I sat in on his press conference call and heard him talking about his team and, you know, some of the things they were doing and improving areas they were improving. And I didn't think Georgia Southern would lose, but I thought it would be probably a one touchdown or one score type game. And right. As it turned out, it was crazy. Now I didn't, in no way did I anticipate a 40-38 game. I'm thinking maybe 24-17, 24-20 type
exactly.
game.
And yeah, the fact that Georgia Southern needed to score 40 points to win the game, and they needed, you know, the 39th and 40th point, that was kind of out of nowhere, that they would need to be a high-scoring game like that.
Yes, and the, Shawertz, he was obviously the difference in that game. There was no question about it. And as he goes, so go the Eagles.
Yeah, that's my point, I guess, on my turn here. Two people that I highlighted in my column for the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com, my Monday column, I highlighted, and McLean, a backstory, to a point. Shawertz, the quarterback, senior quarterback, is starting to rack up career numbers that are all-time. He's the all-time leading rusher for a quarterback in the Sun Belt Conference, and he also is racking up, as you noted, and you'll touch on this, I'm sure, You know, just the career numbers in terms of passing and rushing for Georgia Southern, which is a run-dominant program, offensive scheme, he's putting up numbers, and he made plays that the other players were needing to make, I guess, when they needed a play, when they needed a clutch play, third down especially. Shy Wirtz kept the ball in his hands on the option, and that was what the defense was giving him, and he was making the proper reads. I think, Mike, do you agree with me that they miss J.D. King, their top-of-the-line running back, the first guy that they gets the ball for off-tackle plays, and the guy that really, by the fourth quarter, has pounded on the defense, and he's racking up 7 yards, you know, at a time, it seems like. Now, just for people that may not know, J.D. King was injured in the previous game against Troy, a win against Troy in the second quarter, and he's lost for the season with a torn ACL in his left knee. A tough break for J.D. King. The running back stable is very deep, but it was a senior, the known quantity, Shy Wirtz, that was the big running back, and so the big rusher, 120 yards. And they also had 103 yards from Logan Wright, as well as some key first downs from Matt LaRoche and Wesley Kennedy, who also scored a touchdown. So I'm going to give credit to Shy Wirtz and also to Alex Rayner, the kicker. It's his first season kicking for the team, replacing Tyler Bass, who you know very well. Tyler Bass playing for the Buffalo Bills. Just in short order here, he had 4 field goals and 4 extra points, and that was also the difference on the scoreboard right there. So, did you see that Shy and that, was there anybody else that was making plays in your mind, or it seemed like Shy Wirtz was the one that was getting them over basically?
It just seemed to me that every time they needed to make a crucial play, Shy Wirtz was the guy that did it. And, you know, he was great on the pitches. And as we both know, we saw him in high school and now in college. Wesley Kennedy is a dangerous back, particularly when he gets in the open field. But Shy was the kind of the universal joint that made that engine go. You know, Nathan, he had 120 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns. And one of the things, you know, he needs 47 yards against Army on Saturday to have 3,000 career yards rushing. And he's already well over 3,000 in passing. And he'll be one of 4 Georgia Southern players to be in that 3,000 club. And I think that's pretty rarefied company. Those other guys are, of course, Tracy Hamm, Greg Hill, and Kevin Ellison. And Greg Hill and Tracy Hamm in particular, they're legends at Georgia Southern. And that's pretty rarefied air for this young man to be in. And another thing about Shy, Reddy's bio, this guy is a Dean's List student at Marshall. He's an all the Sun Belt Conference, all academic. You know, so he's done well in the classroom as well as on the field. And I think Eagle fans should be very proud of him. And they'll miss him.
Yeah, the what you said begs the question. But before I ask the question, Shy Wirtz was up for one of the national sports character awards, the Campbell Trophy, for one of the top student athletes. And then he's also up for another one, a senior class award nominated from Georgia Southern. So, but the question, that's all excellent. When somebody's right in front of you, when you see them all the time, maybe you take them for granted. The fact that he's a 4-year starter gives him that longevity that you don't see that often anymore.
No.
4-year start. But do you think he's fully appreciated because he's there every Saturday or Thursday night or from Wednesday night or however it may go? When you've got guys that are like living legends like Tracy Hamm around, still in the part of the Georgia Southern world, and people know, and of course Adrian Peterson, the running back, is on the staff in the athletic department. Will they appreciate Shy Wirtz more after he leaves than when he's playing, you think?
Oh, I think so. I don't know, and speaking of Tracy and AP, Greg Hill is also in Statesboro.
Right.
He's an assistant coach at Statesboro High School. And,
right.
You know, Shy, I don't know if Shy has gotten really from the fan base the credit that he's earned. It's kind of like at Georgia with Jake Fromm. They didn't realize what they had until he was gone, and I think it's going to be that way with Shy. I think, you know, a couple of years down the road, they're going to look back and say, you know, we had a really good player here.
Yeah, and I think it's not – I wouldn't just put it on the fans, but I would also say, has he not gotten the accolades in a very tough race, if you will, to be the quarterback, first team quarterback on the all Sun Belt Conference, you know, postseason honors.
Right.
I think he's
right.
Always, he's been an also ran, and no shame in that. It's just that when you have the like the quarterback at Appalachian State, Zach Thomas was the overall offensive player of the year, not just first team quarterback. You know, you had Georgia Southern guys sprinkled throughout the first, second, third honorable mentions, but you didn't have like a big love fest for the Eagles. And, you know, and so maybe the Shy's senior year, and it is, there's an asterisk to that because all the players, whether they're starters or not, all the players have this year as kind of a redshirt year. It wouldn't count against them whether they opt in or opt out for this season. So you've got guys that in theory, or I guess literally in writing, they could come back and play a fifth season in 6 years, which is, you know, just something that,
right,
that like a medical redshirt would have that.
You know,
of course, there's
I
a reason.
I had not thought about that. Yeah.
I mean,
and,
if he,
you know,
if he,
J.D.
Yeah.
King, for example, listen,
right,
this guy can be an NFL back. There's no question
right
about it. I mean, I look at Matt Breida and Jerick McKinnon, and I'm thinking, hey, King is bigger, stronger, and a more powerful runner than those two guys. Of course, Breida has the great speed, and so does McKinnon, but King is a pretty quick guy, and he's big. He's strong.
Yeah.
He's a big-time runner. And it never occurred to me that he and Shy both could possibly be back next year. And, of course, Shy already has his degree, and, you know, he could go to graduate school. And there's all kinds of possibilities there.
Yeah.
But,
let
you know, on touch Shy, I remember seeing him in the spring game. I had seen a couple of practices. And then in the spring game of his redshirt freshman year, they were projecting him as a possible starter for that fall when he was, you know, starting his redshirt freshman year. This
right
was in his true freshman year. I'm over there at the spring game, and I'd seen several practices. This guy, I thought, if he starts, they're really going to be hurting. He could not throw a football, I swear. At my age, and I could, you know, kind of have to trust my memory here, but I left just, it was really discouraging to watch him try to throw a football. He has worked so hard to get mm-hmm to where he is today, and Shy's a better passer, I think, than people realize. And, you know, he's hit some big throws, but he's
yeah
vastly improved, and that's, the kid has just worked his tail off to get to where he is.
Yeah, that all true. And he had a very high percentage of completions against Troy. The only pass that he didn't complete to a Georgia Southern receiver went into the arms of one of the opposing team's players and was returned for a touchdown. So the ball never touched the ground when he threw it, for better or worse, mainly for better. I think it was, I don't want to say 9 for or 12 for 13, but it was something like that. And then against Texas State, he was 6 of 9 with the one interception that he wants back, but otherwise was competent. We're going to need to time. We're going to need to change gears, and I really want the listeners to hear your stories about the Army coach Jeff Munkin, who was the former assistant coach at Georgia Southern under head coach Paul Johnson, and also at Hazen's at Georgia Southern. I don't want to get that wrong. It might be 3 seasons.
He was there 4 years.
Yeah. So, Jeff Munkin, you covered as mainly as head coach, and he went off to Army. Has had a very successful tenure at Army. They're a very competitive team. They're 6-2 this year, just like Georgia Southern. And we'll talk about them more game by game. But I want to make sure we have time right now. Some special, kind of a special situation with Coach Monken, where he has stepped beyond the normal parameters of coach source for a story to being somebody who's a friend, right?
Yes. Well, Jeff, he and I have, I consider us to be good friends. I feel we have a good personal relationship, and I had a great relationship, professional relationship with him. And he always told me, he says, "Mike, you're a guy I know I can trust." And I just took that as a compliment. I don't want to sound like I'm making Mike Brown sound good, but Jeff is a special guy. And then my wife and I got to know his parents, and they're great people. And we've been to every Army-Navy game since he's been at West Point, and that type of thing. And so we've got a relationship. And but anyway, 3 years ago, July 1st, 2017, my house burned to the ground. We lost everything, and it was on a Saturday night. My wife and I got out of the house just with the clothes we were wearing. Everything else was gone. I didn't even have a pair of shoes on, T-shirt, shorts, Bermuda shorts, you know. So anyway, we get through the weekend, and I told my wife it was on July the 4th, and Rose Carter, who is at Penn State, basketball SID at Penn State. She was at Georgia Southern, and Rose and I were good friends. And I just thought, I need to let Rose Carter know about this, because I don't want her to see this on Facebook or some media outlet or whatever. So I just let Rose know my house had burned. We were all fine, but it had burned. It was like 20 minutes later, 4th of July, about 8 o'clock in the evening, Jeff Monken called me. He was on vacation with his family in Upper Wisconsin, and he said Rose had told him, given him the terrible news, and wanted to know if he could do anything, what was, anything at all. And so I was telling him about the fire, and I said, we got out with just the clothes we were wearing, and he said, "You don't have any clothes?" I said, "Well, I've got what I'm wearing." I was still wearing the same clothes 3 days later.
Were you staying in a hotel or with friends?
Pardon?
Were you staying in a hotel or with friends?
No, with my daughter. I've got a daughter that lives in Savannah, and we were at her house. And until we got some things sorted out. So he said, "You mean you don't have any clothes, And I said, "Well, I've got what I'm wearing." Now, this is on the 4th of July, right? So he says, "Well, I'll send you some army gear." And I said, "Okay." So my daughter called me Thursday morning and said, "Dad, there's a package here for you from West Point." And I said, "Oh, Jeff must have sent me a shirt." And she said, "No, I think it's more than a shirt." We go to her house. We open this box. He had his equipment manager send me, I had 14 different articles of Army clothing. It was and it didn't have price tags on it, so I knew it came from the Army team equipment thing, and it was the same gear the coaches wear and so forth. Then about 4 days later, my wife gets a package, because he had checked about her sizes, and she gets a package. So we've got more Army and West Point stuff, and we wear it proud. We wear it proudly. And one of my great memories is that we were in Philadelphia when they beat Navy for the first time in 15 years, and it was just, unreal to see those cadets and how happy they were. And So we had some great moments there. And then you and I have talked about this before. You know my history. I was the Marshall beat writer when the plane crashed.
Yeah, now this is a separate story, but that I just want to say that for what Coach Monken did spontaneously without, you know, to outfit you, they can outfit a team, they can outfit an army literally over there from their boots to on the ground to the helmet, but for them to outfit you and then for you to walk around Savannah dressed like an army football coach is it just perfect. So to me. But you have I don't know if it's a better story, but it's just as strong a story that you just told me about, and it's much more recent. So this past Saturday, November 14th.
Last Saturday was the 50th anniversary of the Marshall football team's crash.
The tragedy.
And I covered that game, and I was scheduled to fly with them, and we don't have enough time for all this story, but I was scheduled to fly with them. But I canceled out on Wednesday of that week because I decided to drive, take my wife with me, and have a nice weekend because it was my last weekend before basketball started, and I knew I'd be on the road a lot, that type thing. So anyway, we survived, and we've had a great life since. There's been the normal bumps, but
I'm so happy.
Very grateful for where we are and everything. But anyway, okay, last Saturday, Army gets beat 38-12 at Tulane. Bad loss.
Yeah.
I watched that game and so forth, and Army missed some early opportunities, and then they got behind, and, you know, kind of snowballed on them at the end. So, and, you know, you've been around coaches. Hey, after they lose, it's tough.
It's no fun. It's no fun at all.
Saturday evening, I don't know, it was about 7 o'clock, I checked my phone, and I've got a text message from Jeff Monken. Now, here's a guy so I opened it, and he said, Mike, he said, I was thinking about you today, the 50th anniversary of the plane crash, and I was thinking about you and Shirley, and he said, and I'm really glad that Marshall won.
Mm.
I'm not kidding you. I was stunned. My wife teared up that. Here he is. He's dealing with a tough loss. He's got to get his team ready to play a really good team this week. And he takes a few minutes to think about Mike and Shirley Brown. That tells me all I need to know about this guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's just a class act. And if you ever met his parents, you'd know why he is. They're great people, too. And Jeff is just, look, Nathan, I really love Georgia Southern. My wife has a degree from Georgia Southern. My daughter has a degree from Georgia Southern. You know, I've covered them since 2002. There are great people over there. I've always been treated great, but I just can't bring myself. I won't root against the Eagles. I'm going to be rooting for Army Saturday. And with all due respect to Georgia Southern, Chad Lunsford and Shy Wirtz and that crew. If they win, I'll be happy for them. But this is one case, you know, the one time, you know, that I've got to root. I just got to root for Army. I mean, they're such great people up there. I've met a lot of people in the athletic department through Jeff, and they're just great people. And, you know, South Carolina just fired their coach, and they would never hire Jeff Monken, but I think he would be a great hire for them. And one of the things is the president of the University of South Carolina is a retired Army general named Robert Caslin, who I've met and talked to several times. He was the guy that hired Jeff at West Point.
Ah,
and
there's the connection.
He was superintendent at West Point and got hired at South Carolina. Now, hey, would the triple option go over at South Carolina? No. Those fans, they want it would never fly. But and you know, the offense is what hurts guys like him and Paul Johnson when it comes to big jobs. But wherever he is, he's going to win, you know. But he did a great job at Southern. You know, he was, I think, like 36-16 there, won a couple Southern Conference championships, and they went to his very first year there, a rebuilding year, and he took them to the They were the last team to get in the playoffs, but he took them to the semifinals. And so, you know, he's going to win wherever he is because he's a winner as a person.
Yeah, excellent. Well, you've proven that with those two stories. These are very unusual stories. We are so glad, Mike, that you and Shirley are in Savannah and are able to be part of the Savannah Morning News family all these years in Bryan County now as well. People in Bryan County know you so well. In our remaining time, let's talk about that Army Georgia Southern game. We only have a few minutes left in the show, but I want to mention that what you said about Georgia Southern and Army. Jeff Munkin today on his conference call from West Point had similar feelings. He said about how much, and you heard the call too, how much he loved Georgia Southern and he roots for them, but he can't root for him this Saturday because, you know, he's at Army. Now, and somebody even framed the question of, is this some sort of rivalry kind of connection or special connection similar to the Army-Navy game? And he said, now wait, there's nothing in sports like Army-Navy. And I think if anybody's seen that game, you've been in that game. If you watch the documentary about that game, you know that there's a good argument for what he's saying is true. It's not as debatable as somebody might think. But as far as the game this Saturday, Georgia Southern 6-2 kind of had a plan. They do what they need to do to win. They've won different ways, but they run a certain triple option offense. Army the same way, very run heavy. They're 6-2. They avoided the game against BYU, which might have been trouble for anybody. But they beat, as you mentioned, ULM 37-7, and then about 3 weeks later, ULM gave Georgia Southern a very tough time. And they're still winless. So I'm not sure how to take all that. But what's your expectation for the game in a few words here?
Well, they're both these two teams in my mind, and I've watched about every Army game this year on TV, in Georgia Southern's games. They're very, very similar. Listen, Jeff's teams at Georgia Southern were really tough, physical teams, and they didn't back down. They played to the whistle, and they were extremely well coached. I mean, they played fast. You look at Georgia Southern today under Chad Lansford, man, what do? They play to the whistle. They're really tough, mentally tough, physically tough, and they play fast. Defensively, Georgia Southern is very good, and of course Army will—they'll know what to do defending the option, as will Georgia Southern, because they've faced the thing before. And Nate Woody is the Army defensive coordinator. He used to be at Wofford, so he's coached against Georgia Southern several times. So I'm looking for a really just a knockdown drop game. It's going to be close. Well, Georgia Southern's been playing close all year. I really think, you know, it's going to be a, you know, 21-17, 24-17 type game. And I think Army will win, but it wouldn't be an upset by any means if Georgia Southern won. And I favor Army simply because they're playing at home, Mikey Stadium, which is another place I would tell any true football fan, put that on your bucket list, put the Army-Navy game on your bucket list. And I'll tell you one thing, Georgia Southern Army or Army-Oklahoma, whoever it may be, in no way will ever can be compared to Army-Navy. Boy.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's not like – Yeah, I haven't been there myself, but I grew up in Maryland with the, seeing reporting on the game and the whole rivalry and the stealing of the goat and all that stuff. It's captured very well in a documentary. We're not really trying to argue that one's better than the other, that Michigan, Ohio State, or Appalachian State, Georgia Southern, or Duke, North Carolina basketball. Anyway, Mike, I just want to say real quick, Army's averaging 303 yards per game rushing, and And Georgia Southern's averaging 275 per game. I think it's going to come down to turnovers, mistakes, and time of possession will be interesting because if somebody has the – but I know – I think the overall the game will be probably go pretty quickly because there's not a lot of passing, and that's kind of been giving up the pass at the inopportune time, maybe a big pass, has kind of bitten Georgia Southern against Coastal Carolina, against Campbell, against Troy, against Texas State, and I think against Troy. Now, Troy, they actually – sorry, take that back. Troy was their best defensive game, if not statistically certain by perception. And if they could – the defense plays like they did against Troy, though a totally different offense that they're facing, but if they have that same kind of level of excellence, then certainly Georgia Southern will be this in this game to the end. But Army lost to Tulane because of some bad plays. It seemed like that Tulane took advantage of some plays and Army got in a hole and they did some kind of desperate plays to try to turn things around that didn't work. And so the score is a little misleading. It was actually a close game until toward the end. I think you're right. I think it's going to be a close game. Georgia Southern's found ways to play close games. I don't know if the law of averages is in their favor, especially on the road, especially with a lot of cadets. I don't know how many, but a lot of cadets will be in the stands, and I bet they'll be loud. Mike, we got to go.
Okay. They'll have about 4,000.
4,000.
And possessions will be treasured. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes. I thought I'd lost you. And every possession will be valued because both teams will grind it out. So when you get the ball, I mean, that possession, you've got to get something out of it because both teams are averaging over what, around 34 minutes a game time of possession. So, you know, you might have four possessions in the game. I've seen games like that. You're too young to remember it, but I remember a year when Army played Boston College and Paul Johnson – or Navy played Boston College, and Paul Johnson was at Navy, and, of course, Jeff was there with him, where Boston Navy had the ball. It was in a bowl game in San Diego, and Navy, believe it or not, they had the ball for the entire third quarter – in the first two plays of the fourth quarter. They took 15 minutes to drive about 90 yards. Now, there were some penalties that moved them back and that type of thing, so they probably gained 140 yards on that drive. But I remember it vividly. And the because when Paul Johnson and Jeff were at Navy, I followed Navy and because of them. But then when Jeff went to Army, of course, I switched my allegiance. But you might have the ball for maybe two possessions, first half or three. Yeah. They're not going to be running up and down the field like they did last Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. We'll be back next week to talk about the Army Georgia Southern game, and we'll look ahead to the rest of the season. It's been going by fast. We thank everybody for listening to Georgia Southern Extra, the weekly podcast. Mike Brown, thanks very much for being a special guest of the show tonight. You told some great stories, had some great insight, and the people's appreciation for Jeff Monken when he was in Statesboro, and now that he's in Army, they're probably going to look at him at even a better way after hearing the kind of friendship that he has and the way he goes out of his way to help have a kind word or kind gesture. Mike, we're good. I'll talk to you again in a little bit, but Mike, thanks very much, and everybody, good night. Thanks.
Oh, he will. Adrian Peterson is taking care of things right now.
To Wesley Fields. Touchdown. Georgia Southern.
Pass swing. On the way. It's good! It is Will with my stolen Montgomery! Georgia Southern!